All right, if you have your Bibles, quickly let's open to the book of Jeremiah chapter 29. I want to read something there. We'll use for our discussion today. And then also use it to pray. The book of Jeremiah chapter 29. There's a scripture I want from there. But I just like to read in context, as you know. Let me just start from around verse 10. It says, "For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." That's actually where I'm going, verse 13. He said, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." He said in verse 14, "And I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes. And I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile." Now, like I said, the verse I actually want there, just that verse 13 and then into verse 14. "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Now, last prayer meeting we had here, we began to talk about the matter of the power of God. And I just want to remind us of a few things, all right, from there again. And then we'll just say a few things today, then pray, and then we'll close. And I explained that Andrew Womack explained that there's a difference between a blessing and a miracle, all right. And I said something to us there that the power of God is real. All right, that's the kind of where I want to go. That the power of God is what? Is real. And that it can get to a point. When we talk about the blessing, a blessing just means that the grace of God. Now, please don't ever forget that word. I'm sure by now I have over 100 definitions for it. The grace of God is that continually manifested power of God that is in your life. He said, "My grace is sufficient for you." And how does he define my grace? He says, "My power that is made perfect in your weakness." That is, the power of God exists. It's available for the people of God to use to overcome challenges in their lives. I said something to us some time ago. I can't remember what we're saying there. That everybody has what they fear in life. That then, when I was a youth couple, I had a colleague, all right, also a doctor too. He was 7. He got there before me, left for the batch. It was before the batch before mine. And he used to say the thing he feared most in life was poverty. Yes. He said the thing he feared most in life was what? Poverty. And the thing scared him. The way he behaved, you knew the guy was afraid of poverty. Just by the way, as a Christian, you must never be afraid of things like poverty. You must never be afraid of what the future holds. As a believer, those are fears that are forbidden. Are you getting my point? Yes, they are forbidden. You must never be afraid of poverty. You shouldn't, you know, because you see, I'm digressing now, but the thing has gripped me. I can't help but digress. You know what they call the love of money? You understand? Uh-huh. Now, when you talk about the love, this is how I explain the love of money. I use this angle to explain it. When you talk about the love of God, that's a good way to explain the love of money. What does it mean that you love God? Does it mean you want to own him and pocket him? No, think about it. To love God, does it mean you want to own him and pocket him? No, it doesn't. Rather, it means you serve and obey him. Do you follow? We are talking about loving money also. It's not just about wanting to own money. No, that's not the love of money. It's what you are ready to do for money. When you love God, you do things for Him. There are things that, all right, characterize somebody's love for God. When you say man loves money also, it's not just that he wants to have money, all right? It's that the love of money makes him do things that he normally wouldn't do. Do you follow my point? Yes. So, this is my guy Ben. His life changed because of fear of poverty. There are things he normally wouldn't do. He began to do. The things defiled his conscience thoroughly. But because he so feared money, poverty, he had to get money. And he began to break every moral code that was inside his conscience because he wanted to have money. That was what fear drove him into. And when I was preaching that message then, I said, what is my own greatest fear? Do you understand what I'm saying? And I want to use that one to explain what this power of God matter today. The thing that, in Jesus' name, I'm not worried, amen? But the thing that comes to my mind once in a while, and sometimes it happened this afternoon, I still had to recite some dedications to God. I was alone. The thing that comes to my mind that tries to scare, you know what I'm trying to say, that, and the thing I don't want to happen, amen, is that God will have written concerning my life that this man will experience, let me put it like this, 100 measures of the power of God. And then you get to heaven and you're feeling very happy, feeling very pious and tough with yourself that you did a lot of great things for God on the earth. And then I checked the register. He said the man experienced only 45%. Now let me just tell you, most human beings don't even get 10%. Take my word for it. And the average human beings don't come close to 10. Do you follow? But for me, 50% is not good enough. I'll be honest with you, 90% is not good enough. The one that I really want is what? 100. Let's go for that. The thing that scares me the most, you understand what I mean now, all right? The thing that I really, really am afraid of personally is that I will go through life and I will not have a testimony. Do you understand my point? I will go through life and the degree of glory that God ordained that I should experience and I didn't experience it. And I said earlier, the power of God is available. Say amen if you believe that.
Amen.
It is. But there's something I want you to understand. In fact, we'll read a few scriptures. But you see, one of my favorites is Isaiah chapter 40. I won't read it, I'll just refer to it. You see there, he explained about the glory of God. And that glory is manifested when people have made a way for it. He said in verse 3, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a high way for our God. In verse 4, he explained what adjustments should be made. He now said in verse 5, then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together. That is, God's power is available to be manifested. Do you follow my point? But oftentimes, the road is rough. That is why it has not been manifested. So what do we do? What we do all the time, like Paul was saying, having these promises, let us cleanse ourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. What do? We start perfecting, we start correcting the things that are wrong. He said, bring down the mountain, all right, and elevate the valley, and let the rough ground become a plain. That's what I'm saying. Now, so God may have this dose of his power available for us, but we'll not experience it if we don't do certain things that are correct. Are you getting my point? If we don't make some necessary adjustments. The first thing I want to say today, if I heard my wife quoting it when she was leading prayer on Saturday, and that's the word of Derek Prince. Derek Prince said, the first rule, if you want God's best, is what? You must want God's best. That's rule number one. He had a number of rules concerning if you want to get God's best. That's Derek Prince. And for him, rule number one is you must want God's best. And that's what I'm trying to stay in the hearts of the people since last time. That one, you must desire it. Otherwise, you will go through life and not experience it. Are you getting the point I'm making? Listen to me. Paul said it like this, that where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. This is what I want to bring up from there. Where disadvantages abound, there's a greater dose of divine power that is available. Did you hear what I said? Please, I like to say this all the time. Don't ever, you've heard me say several times, don't ever compromise your dreams, your visions because of the surrounding circumstances. The reason is because where disadvantages abound, there is more power that is available. The problem is that people don't do what is necessary so as to have that power manifested in their lives. That's what I'm saying. I was saying that something this happened again this afternoon. I was alone, I was thinking actually. Not something seriously happened, but I was alone, I was thinking. And I realized that for me, when it comes to the call of God for my life, there are certain things that were tempting, they were trying to be hindrances, let me use that expression, to what that's in the path of me experiencing the full manifestation of the power of God. And let me tell you something there. Don't ever forget. Bad things, things that are obviously bad, are never serious temptations for Christians. Are you hearing my point? If you hear, I'm not saying that the greatest temptation I have now is that I was considering marrying a second wife. You just go and call a psychiatrist. This one doesn't even need deliverance. It needs injection. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? Now, listen, for Christians, those are not the temptations of life. Now, I'm not saying there are no temptations like that, all right? But those are temptations for those who should be flogged. That you are still a crawling child. They should get a koboko and flog you for thinking such thoughts. The real temptations of life are not like that. Let me tell you something as a preacher, as an example. Let me tell you what they call temptations as preachers. Let me tell you about temptations. There are little things like, if you do your ministry like this, it will grow and blossom, and you will be a big man. And you can spiritualize it. Then you start affecting many lives. That's the deception there. Do you get my point? That is what? The deception, you know? Satan came and told Jesus Christ, listen, salvation you can't save. Eh? Nobody save is can't save people. If I give you all the kingdom, you can legislate salvation for them. Yes, that was what corrupted the church. The church became very powerful. Look, listen. The church of those days, the Pope was anointing kings. You couldn't be a legitimate king in Europe if the Pope didn't anoint you. That's what corrupts the church. It's not persecution is not a problem. It's when they have become too prosperous. Are you getting what I'm saying? And so, when we're talking about temptation, we're not talking about bad things. They will tell you that, listen, this is how this man made it. Those days we used to hear all kinds of gist. Oh, this man was a small man until they connected with that man. That man is a big man. Maybe it's something like a bishop, archbishop, or prelate, or, you know, all those cardinal, whatever title we give ourselves in Christianity. So he was there struggling. The next thing you don't wear cassock. Pentecost, I know there was time we went real mad. We began by robe. We had cap that was shooting through the ceiling. They had to raise the ceiling of some churches to accommodate their bishop. After all, we're all Christians. Now, I'm bringing up an issue here. You're talking about temptation? Those are temptations. You may say, Pastor Banky, it's not a serious temptation. You don't worry. You're not dead there. This is just by the way. I hope you don't mind me giving you gist. One of my friends is a very powerful, he knows powerful people. He said, when one governor, let me not mention which state, organizes party, you know, Christmas party, and you invite clergymen, I won't mention which state, as you are leaving, for coming for the governor's party, they give you money. Thank you very much. Thank you, sir. Your Excellency is the governor. What's the pastor? Your Holiness, whatever. Your Holiness, thank you very much. Your Worship, anytime. Then they give you envelope. Now listen to me. They don't just give the envelope arbitrarily. They will check your rank. If you will be a pastor, they will give you 100,000. If you're a bishop, 500,000. If you're an archbishop, 1,000,000 naira. If you now become Supreme Military Council, sorry. the other day, one governor bought, you know, Camrys for every big pastors in that state. I almost mentioned the name of the state. There were some people who went for ordination as bishop because of Camry. You think I'm joking? The guy go look, say, now wow. Me and Pastor John Bosco, it's the same day we started this thing.
Look at him now. Governor has given him Camry. Why? You see, I told you that. Let's go for consecration. Next time, you open two satellite branches and two moon branches. Next thing, he call himself bishop. You don't know what the man is pursuing. He said, the next Christmas, all of us are going to be at that governor's party. And now go and wear one, look for one sash and put around the neck and get two jobless boys to follow him inside, carrying his bag. It sounds funny. You'd be amazed at what men do. You think it's only businessmen and politicians that have temptation. Pastors too have temptation. One day I was at the airport. I went to preach for one of my friends in Sokoto. So at the airport, about to leave. He saw one of his friends. He said, there was one young man wearing one very nice suit. Very beautiful suit. Light blue, I still remember. And he had a very nice, well-taken care of hair. Not like this man. Way Baba just couldn't come out. It took time out to arrange it. Apparently, he and I came to Sokoto for the same business. I came to preach, do a seminar in my friend's church. He also went somewhere to preach. So my host pastor was with me at the airport. His own host pastor was there. So they ran to each other and said, oh boy, what are you going? They greeted each other. What are you doing here? He said, in after that, he escorted Bishop to the airport. I know the boy. I know. So I told my friend, from now on, I'm a bishop too. And you know, the guy sat very nicely and quietly. He sat very nicely and quietly. Not, you know, not people like us. No, it sounds funny. You're laughing. But if you know, these are the things men do. And let me just say briefly, by the way, those are the things that you need to, every time you see them, you renounce them. Are you getting my point? Yes. I'm not saying they just say, don't mind them. No. Pray for the man if you think he's doing wrong. He may not be doing wrong. Maybe he was called to be a bishop, and you're not called to be a bishop. So don't forget him, all right? And the point I'm just making is that if he grinds you in a wrong manner, you know, just renounce certain things there. Renouncing is not just that, yes, God will just bless us anyhow. Sometimes you are renouncing money. I don't know whether I get my point. Like that party I'm telling you, your friend, number one, I know people who refuse to go. Let us assume you even go, and God said, take the money. I'm not saying you should go. I'm not saying you should not go. Are you getting my point? But let us even assume you go and you take the money. Just by refusing certain things, you won't get a millionaire. That's what I'm trying to illustrate. Just by saying, no, that's not the way I want to do it. That's what I mean. Because you see, for me, let me go back to what I was saying when I started that. So when I'm talking about just renouncing some things and making certain consecrations, it's not consecrating yourself that, no, Lord, I will never divorce my wife and marry another wife. That's not what we're talking about. I think you have enough common sense to know you shouldn't do that. In fact, you won't do it except you are demon-possessed. So I hope you have bought enough anointing oil to barricade your head against demon possession. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? That's not what I'm calling temptation. Do you follow my point? I'm using the minister as an example. There are little things in how you structure for growth. A lot of people that have gone for certain, I'm not saying church growth seminars are bad, but for certain methods of increasing the influence of their ministry, they are doing it and denying the power of God. That is, as they are doing that, you know what they are doing on the side? They are telling God, leave me alone. This is how I want to do it. They are saying, God, no, this is the way we want to do it because this one works faster. I said, the Lord is good. So what I'm saying is that, you see, the kind of decisions you make, therefore, all right, are influenced by what is most precious to you. What is more important to you? You get the point? Yes. Because if indeed it is the power of God that you must experience in your life, that's what's most precious to you. Listen, you will make decisions in such a manner that even though you lose temporal things, that is physical things, you suffer loss in that regard. Are you getting my point? Yet, the passion of your heart, in fact, let's quickly read it. Philippians chapter 3, that's what Paul says in that place. Yet the passion of your heart being for something that is much higher than what eyes can see. Because your eyes are set on the things that are above, it won't allow those things to bother you. I won't read the long one because we're not supposed to be here doing too much reading. I'll just read from
verse 7, he said, but whatever things were gained to me, Philippians chapter 3, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. And I explained this then, I'll explain it again. That when he said the sake of Christ, he didn't say I'm doing it so that Christ will be happy. We explained that the word Christ is not just a person's name. You know, we've explained that before. So we explained it then that the word Christ, okay, is not just somebody's name, but it's a phenomenon, it's a realm of existence, all right? It's an experience. In fact, I dare to say you can exchange this word Christ for the expression eternal life. I dare to say that. They mean essentially the same thing, especially in this context. So when Paul said, I have counted those things lost for the sake of Christ, what he was saying is that this is what I want to get. He's not saying I'm doing it for this person. You know, do you follow my point? That why are you still here? I didn't want to go because I've spent that money. So I left that money for the sake of my brother. That is, now since I didn't go, my brother will go and take advantage of the money. That's what we think of a lot of time. We use the expression, sake of Christ. Christ, Jesus Christ as a person stands to gain nothing personally by the sacrifices that Paul was making. What Paul was saying is that this is what I'm trying to gain. Do you get my point? And that, why did you not go into business? I did not go into business for the sake of my schooling. Do you understand my point? That is, I want to gain a certificate. I want to gain something else, not just that other endeavor. So when Paul said, I have counted these things as loss for the sake of Christ, that's what he was saying. In fact, you hear it in the next verse. He said, more than that, I count all these things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Note that. Knowing Christ Jesus as a person, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them but rubbish in order that I might do what? Gain Christ. So what he was saying is, when he says for the sake of Christ, he was talking about what he was going to gain. Now, let me just stop there. I brought that one out to explain the issue of opening the door for the power of God in our lives. What actually happens is that God makes demands of us. Listen to me. We start making sacrifices that shows that this thing is valuable to us. Listen, let me explain something to you. You can't pay God. You hear what I said? You can't pay him. He does not accept payment for anything. I like to always correct Christians so that they can understand this. That's why I teach the doctrine of giving the way I do. Money matters in Christianity. You can never give God something and then on the basis of that, demand that he does something for you. Listen to me, that thing is around nonsense. I hear it preached all the time. It is a lie. Most of the people who say it, they need to collect an offering then. Now, please, that's not supposed to be an insult. I'm not criticizing. I'm just telling you the truth. Do you follow my point? You cannot pay God to get anything out of him. No, you can't. However, listen to this. It appears sometimes as if you paid him. Not as if you paid him. The issue is that he makes demands which are direct reflections of the value you place on stuff. A man came to him and said, what will it take for me to have eternal life? And Jesus looked at him. The Bible said that he loved him. He said, you know the law. Keep the law. He said, all these things I have kept from my youth up to this point. I don't transgress any one of them. That's when the Bible said Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said to him simply, you really want to know him? He said, yes. Go and sell all you have. Give to the poor, and then come and follow me. Now, notice, he didn't say, maybe that's what he meant, but he didn't say it. We can only imagine that that's what he was saying. But he did not say, when you sell all that you have, do you follow my point? You will gain eternal life from selling all you have and giving it out. He didn't say that. He said, sell all you have, come and join Peter and James and Co. Who realize how important it is, and they have given up everything. And giving up everything. Come and join them. Then you too will discover what they have discovered. Do you get what I'm saying? Yes. It wasn't that now when we preachers will say, a man was going to give a dangerous offering and dangerous manifestation was going to follow. No, it had nothing to do with offering. It had to do with what? Value. Because the Bible says that the kingdom of God, all right, is like a pearl of great price, which a merchant saw. And then he went and did what? He sold all that he had that he might buy it. That is, it was his perception of the value that we're talking about. So for Paul, that's what he was saying. And I explained then that, listen, that experiencing Christ, listen to me, is what we are gunning for. When we're talking about the power of God, Paul said that I may experience the power of his resurrection. What am I doing again today? I'm staying in our hearts, because that's number one thing. What exactly do you want to experience in life? What? For me, I want to be able to tell stories. When I'm an old man, my great-grandchildren, if somebody insults them in school about their faith, they should come home and say, I'm going to visit my great-grandfather. They start telling a story. Oh, about 60 years ago, this happened. Do you follow my point? You know, I told you that day, I was talking to somebody, and he said he did not believe that the sun stood still. Do you follow? So that Joshua could win a battle. There's a book, this book, Power Filled Living, by R.G. Torrey, or something like that. I was just looking at it yesterday, and the man was addressing the same matter in a particular chapter. And he said it's on record in different civilizations at that time that there was a day the sun refused to set. That is, and he believed that those were the other people in distant places that experienced the power of God as it intervened in preventing sunset so that they, Joshua could win a battle. It's on record in two different civilizations at that time. It's on their archives, their records, that there was a day. We don't know what happened. Darkness just refused to come that day. We waited and waited, night not going to come. Are you getting my point? You can't come and tell Joshua that God is not alive. You can't. Because he saw it. And those are the things that Jews were taught. So when they saw Jesus, they used to come to him and say, what must we do to have those experiences? Are you getting my point? What must we do? And God, the Lord Jesus told that rich young ruler, he said, go and sell all that you have. What he was saying is that, what value do you place on this thing? Do you understand the point? What value do you place on it? Listen to me. I like the way Bishop Oyedepo used to say it. He said, your sense of value determines the flow of virtue towards you. Did you hear that? That your sense of value determines what? The flow of virtue. Listen, and this is how God does it. Periodically in your life, he will take you to a point in which you will make up your mind. Am I going for this or going for that? What I mean is that you will have to make a decision one day. It can be in a matter of, okay, should I marry this person or not marry this person? And listen, God is looking. He's just checking what is the reason why you are making up your mind. Do you follow my point? There are times he will put you in a place. You say, this one is comfort. You want comfort? Take it. You want power? Take it. Which one? And listen, most people in life, the Bible says, broad is the way that leads to what? Destruction. And many people, that's where they are walking on. You are getting the point I'm making. Listen, a time will come, you will have to make decisions that will be painful. In economics, they call it opportunity cost. That's what they call it, opportunity cost. That is, you will make a decision. And that's what God is using those things to check. I tell you, you can't pay him. You hear what I said? You can't pay him. Sometimes I hear preachers talk as if the reason why they have this amount of power is that they spent this amount of time on the mountain. And they now want to prove to you that, you see, Jesus became powerful after he went to the garden, into the wilderness. You see, the first question is that, look at Jesus well. When did the Holy Ghost come upon him? Before or after the wilderness? It was before. John the Baptist, when he saw him before the wilderness, he knew something was up. His disciples ran after him before the wilderness. So, I like the way this man said it once, Reinhold Bonnke. Reinhold Bonnke said that, people say the price of God's power. He said, you can talk about the price if it's a purchase. Do you understand my point? You can't pay, you can't direct, that's why you can't get up and say, now, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pray and pray as in pain. When I do this one, God will see, say, are they serious? You understand my point? No. What he does is simply he calls the shots. Periodically, he will ask you, that is through experiences, through things happening around you, you will have to make a decision that shows that you place value on the power of God being manifested in your life. And that's what Paul was talking about. He said, I counted all these things as what? Dung. I counted them as loss. Why? Listen, these were things that he had worked for all his life. I read them, this man one day, Watchman Nee. I don't know whether it was him or somebody else. All right? And in it, he explained that there was a particular man, he had labored all his life, he wanted to get a PhD. The day before he got the PhD, the Holy Spirit made it. Now, this is, I have to be careful when I tell stories, all right? But there are a few stories I have to correct that. I went and read the story again. No, the Spirit is still correct, too. You get my point? It's just the fine details, all right? So I don't know whether it was the day before or a year before or whatever. But the Holy Spirit made it clear to him that for you, this is the price for whatever it is that we are going for in your life. This certificate, don't collect it. The Lord is not against PhD. So that's, again, how we make mistakes in Christianity. You follow my point? You know, I say, God has said that any child of God that wants divine power must never get a PhD. Most lazy will not say, praise the Lord. I could did not want it before. He said, praise God. When that's somebody going to school, oh, you won't see the power of God like this. So. Meanwhile, the guy's one is that, if you not want it before, Even the one way he do now, I'm saying, Papa say, if you not do, I'm not going to give you inheritance. So now they now went to church and said, no. But for people like that, it may not be the call. Are you getting my point? It may not be the demand that God is making in their lives. Believe me, God takes ambition away from people. He does. He does. A man has dreamt of something on his life. God will say, that is the very thing I'm not going to let you have. Why? It's simple. All these things I counted, Paul said, as loss. Because I want to gain something else. What am I saying to us today? We'll begin to pray in a few moments. What I'm saying to us is simple. That listen, if we want God's power manifested in our lives, we must really want it. And when we are making those decisions, like I was saying, God is just using them to judge what is important to us. You know, every day, every day I wake up, I tell myself, I say, that's another day gone. And that's, when I woke up in the morning, I turn and I say, wow, that yesterday, permanently, he don't go. All right? Anyway, I won't say all the things about that, but what I want to bring out is that every day that passes like that, all right, one gets older and you get more experienced in life, all right? Yeah, so you can imagine that except something's wrong with me, I should be wiser today than I was last year. All right? And this is my conclusion. My conclusion, all right, is that most people I have come across, they really don't fully believe in God. Now, you hear what I said? Not because they don't say it, but their actions and their decisions don't show it. Now, when I say believe in God, you know, believing in God is not about the existence of a supreme being who created everything. No. In Africa, that's natural. You know that. It's only when you get to Europe that it's not natural. In Africa, once you're born, once you finish crying, the first thing they tell you is, you know, there's a God that created everything. Better say yes, otherwise you won't cry again. You quickly agree. You understand what I'm saying? It's normal. Whether you were good or bad, you just believe. You understand my point? In the existence of God. But, you see, when it comes to Christianity, all right, it demands more than that just general belief that God exists. My conclusion is that a lot of people who profess Christianity, they actually don't believe in the power of the gospel. What do I mean? The way they make decisions. That's it. You know, I told you the book I was writing, we finished it. It should be out in another few weeks out of the press. So who will pay for this? I was talking about, in fact, I came to some conclusions over the last few weeks. Again, I'm sure I thought about it before. But over the last few weeks, I came to the conclusion again. talking about the matter of the word cheerful giver. When the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. Please, it's a prayer you must pray. That God, you will convert my heart and show me what I need to confess until I'm actually, in reality, a cheerful giver. Cheerful giver is not just about money. Are you getting my point? I've said it before, a lot of people who give under the predominant teaching in the body of Christ today are not cheerful givers. They are cheerful investors. Yes. Once somebody promises you and pushes you with reward and that motivates you, you have not cheerfully given. You have not cheerfully given. You have cheerfully invested. And there are many people who cheerfully invest into the stock market and they are broke and poor today. You know that? And there are many people who cheerfully invested into God's bank and they are broke and poor today. Do you know why? God didn't give those terms of agreement. He didn't make such promises. It's the great man at the door of his bank that lies to them. God does not repay cheerful investors. He repays cheerful what? Givers. He repays who? Cheerful givers. I'm bringing out something here. After thinking about it, I came to a conclusion. I said, indeed, God loves a cheerful giver. He does. And who is a cheerful giver? I'm not going to detail about it now. You can read down my tract, Cheerful Giving. One of the things that mark a cheerful giver, cheerful giving is not whether you are dancing, God of miracle, during offering time. No. You can dance from now to tomorrow. It doesn't prove you are giving cheerfully. Because God looks at the heart. He does not look on the outside. So you really cannot tell who is cheerfully giving by how he dances. Some people just like to boogie down. Whether it's church, offering time, praise time, they must dance. You are getting what I'm trying to explain? Yes. All right? Now, what makes somebody a cheerful giver is the depth of understanding he has about the person of God and the fact that he really holds his future in his hands. Friend, I was talking to me the other day. He said there was a time he almost panicked when he saw the things that were occurring on the earth. And the scripture came back to my mind that the hearts of men fail them when they see things happening. He said, but you believer, do what? Look up, for your redemption draws near. So when we hear and I talk for a while, and I refer to it on Saturday, and how it is that it's scary to think about the future, looking at the things that are happening around. One scripture just came to my mind again. I said, that's why God says, take no thought for the morrow. It says, sell all that you have. Give to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven. Are you getting my point? Listen, for you to deliberately not worry about tomorrow and become a cheerful giver so as to have treasure in heaven, that is what faith is. It's not bribery. I don't know whether you get my point. It is not God to take, you go pay back. I hear say, you know, they owe. You know that kind of thing. That's cheerful investing. A cheerful giver is somebody who says, my life is in his hands. The one I have now, I ain't give up. He has enough to give me tomorrow. For that reason, every demand made today concerning his or her life, he's not afraid to make decisions. You are getting what I'm not explaining? That's why, after considering many of those things, I came to the conclusion that most people actually don't believe in God. That's what I mean. They don't. When Christians sit you down, Christians, and tell you, don't go there, you don't know people, they really don't believe in God. Listen, it's not just what you do, it's the advice you give other people. The Bible says, though they feared the Lord, did what? They spoke often, how? To one another. It's what they are telling other people that shows whether they believe in God or not. You see, look, I'm just advising you. Eh? Unless your faith is strong, yeah? Unless your faith is strong. You get what I'm saying? I'm just advising you. Unless your faith is strong. Because if your faith is not strong, eh? Anyway, yeah? Well, okay. You know, I remember a friend of mine, a colleague. I don't know how to call her a friend or not, but an acquaintance, a colleague. Iyadebo used to say something that said the Jew, that his wife had, I think, 5 children or so. I don't know exactly details now. And the first 4 she had by CS. And then the last one, the 5th one, after he had given his life to Christ and all of that, the lad believed God that she, in fact, she was persuaded that she was okay. They were persuaded that there was not going to be a problem. And that, of course, the day of the delivery, of course, we were advising him, listen, wisdom. At the end of the day, anyway, let's make a long story short. She delivered safely and soundly, and there was no problem. And delivered naturally. SVD, like we call it. That's the medical terminology. You understand? All right? That's normal delivery. Now, the lady that I'm telling me that she was a member of Redeemed, and then she was telling me at the office, say, anytime I hear that testimony, I cringe because there are so many women there. They will go and do those things now, and then they will have problems. And she was pregnant. We're not very close. I still remember her name very well. I went to her and said, okay, come. This is your pregnancy. Pray specially about it. The reason is that anytime you go to church and you hear a testimony, what comes to your mind is not the power of God. It is, they will try it and they will die. She said that in my hearing at least, okay, let me not exaggerate. I am sure of at least 2 times, maybe more than that. I'm like, what are you saying? Then why do you bother going to church or to the camp? Do you understand my point? Listen, when she's talking, what she's telling me simply is that, forget that Jesus, that man will just lock you. Am I lying? What should a good Christian have said? Say, Father, that must be my testimony. Lord, this must be my testimony. I mean, maybe there are 500,000 people listening to it. You're cringing because of the women there. You have not reached up to give thanks. He said, I cringe. Those were her words. I cringe. Because the man, they colored the story a bit. She didn't say that to him. I'm the one adding that last one to it. You're not very sure. Hey, if you try it, leave him. Oh, you know his faith is great. God doesn't always come around like that. Oh. Instead of you considering the testimony of the loaves, like the Bible says. No, you haven't. Are you getting the point I'm making? That is, listen, what really do you want in life? That's what I'm saying. Do you want a testimony? You know, I've been telling any one of you that has dreams about doing business and all of that. Now, don't they charge for big dreams, though? Have you ever seen? Government has never taxed anybody for dreaming big. So, what plans do you have for your company? Well, believe in God, amen, that one day, you know, right now, just a small transportation company, we have 1 vehicle, 2 Keke Napeps, and. But we believe, God, that after a while, we are going to have, at least for Nigeria to London route, we should have a 777. And then to New York, another 777. We'll use 747 to Johannesburg. And they will now say, okay, go and pay $1 million tax. Have you ever heard of that before? You know what I'm saying? Please, please, I'm begging you. Like Paul said, I'm begging you, be reconciled to God. My own begging is, please dream big. So that you can tell the story of the power of God. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
1 or 2 airline owners must come from here.
Yes.
Because I have said it too many times. It has to bear fruit. Yes. What I'm trying to say is, expect. Are you getting my point? Reach out. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, expect, value it. You will make decisions in life. Because that, you see, like I said, God is not trying to punish you or trying to make you pay for it. He's just trying to say, do you really value this thing? Is it important to you?
Are you saying this is what you will? Do you get my point? You will reach for no matter what. Listen, a lot of times people think they are desperate, and in their desperate situations, listen, this is what you must be very careful of. In their desperate situations, they make wrong decisions, believing that God should understand. But what you have just proved to him is that that power is not important. I don't know whether you get what I say. Sometimes you say, a woman, she's going to church. You say, what? I'm believing God for a husband. Then after waiting for a long time, she marries a non-believer. I don't know whether I get my point. It's temptation. She just fell for temptation. Yes. You know, say, no, you should have understood that what God is saying is that, no, tell me, if I'm so important to you, are you getting my point? If I'm so important, there are areas that are no-go areas. I don't know whether I get what I'm saying. That even if I don't even answer you, you're following me? Let's even assume that I decide that God, I'm God, I won't answer you again. That you should have known that that is a no-go area. The desperateness, the English is good, of the situation does not justify putting hand into some things. And you go and see the day that Saul disobeyed Samuel. As soon as he finished, Samuel showed. Now, you get my point? As soon as he was through, what happened? Samuel walked in. What does that tell you? Samuel was already coming. Samuel was coming. And because of the impatience of his soul, which I said, was it last Saturday I said it or last Tuesday? That you cannot, it's not about, he should have just waited. No. What was valuable to him was different. If the power of God was indeed what was valuable, look at the day they put that same Saul down. I know David, when people are following you, be very careful. Some of them don't get the point yet. The men of David say, okay, see now. Walai talai, one stroke. If I strike him twice, kill me. But you see, you know, I told you that life, especially in the area of ministry, has three levels. When I say ministry, now I mean ministry. They're not just about preaching, any part of life. There's a calling, there is a choosing, and there's what? The establishing. Alright? Because David understood that only God could establish him. Do you follow my point? That was why he was afraid to touch Saul. It was not because he loved Saul. It was because he understood that if God doesn't establish me, I am not established. You are getting the point. That was the same principle that Nabal, Abigail, used to persuade him not to kill Nabal. Say, so, you know, one day God is going to establish you on the throne. What story are you going to tell about today? The guy's not true. The guy said not true. What am I saying? All those choices we have to make, God is using them to establish the amount of value that we place on certain issues. Like I've been telling you here and there that there are decisions I've had to make over the last few weeks. And as I'm making them, inspiration just the just by the way. I've not finished one book. That one's on its way to the press. I started another one. Then today, I went for a meeting, and the meeting was delayed. I just brought up my computer and wrote the first few paragraphs of the next book. Because this morning, as I was trying to brush my hair, I suddenly had inspiration. That's why I must carry a smartphone. I brought my phone out and quickly wrote the outline of a book. So when I sat down in the office, I wrote the first few paragraphs. There are enough messages to fill the whole time. You are getting the point I'm making. Listen, as we make those choices, which are actually expressions of the amount of value that we place in these things, all right? Then the power of God starts getting ready to move into our lives. I don't know why I'm just so emphatic about that, about what I'm about to say. I've said it several times. And that's the fact that I believe very strongly, not just in Nigeria, forget Nigeria for a moment. I mean, amongst those who are listening to me, either physically here or somebody is listening to this on a city. I am so persuaded that from their lives, God wants to build things. And now listen, I'm talking about physical things. Enterprises. You get my point? Businesses. Political careers that they have not yet, as of today, they can't even imagine it.
Amen.
I am persuaded. And I'm praying a prayer for you, even as I'm praying now, that over the next few weeks and months, God will give you experiences that will force you to open your heart and enlarge your borders.
Amen.
That is suddenly, you won't be, look, that is, when you wake up, there are things you are dreaming about that are today. It appears as if they are inconceivable. Do you get my point? Because we are talking about the power of God. We are not talking about human strength. If you are a preacher, somebody will soon die where you are. And you will have to pray and the person will wake up.
Amen.
In fact, you do have to be a preacher. Whether you're a preacher or not is besides the point. Once you have a testimony of Jesus, that's all. They will soon call you into a place where things are scattered. Don't be afraid. Do you get my point? What did I say? Don't be afraid. Say the man is about to die. Did they charge for laying on of hands? He said he laid hands on him, so he must speak. You heard of that before? Because God is going to pour power in somebody's direction, you will see the manifestation. Your mouth will open for 24 hours. Are you getting my point? Yes, your mouth. You know, I said something last time. That, look, listen. As of today, or last week or something, I said it. 100,000 naira is the total worth of your business. In 2 years, 100 million naira is all you'll be talking about.
Amen.
Let me say it again. In 2 years, God will increase your business 1,000-fold. Is that 1,000 or 1,000,000-fold? 1,000-fold. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it will be demonstrable that it was the power of God.
Amen.
Let me explain something to you. If you know people, there are places you can get to. Is that true?
Yes.
So you can easily imagine it. If you have a friend, let's assume your friend's name is Chiki or something. And they say, Chiki's uncle is now a minister. And you don't think anything of it. Too. But then, a few weeks down the line, and I say, where's Chiki now? He said, he's in Abuja now. They not see him. When they just drive by in a very nice dress, say, we're going for a meeting. Then instantly your mind goes, okay, I heard that his uncle is now a minister. You understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. But listen to me. That's what human beings can conceive based on what they can see. Now listen to what I want to say. When the power of God begins to work in your life, what God will do will be such that your phone will ring. Oh God. You're about to laugh, all right? But please don't laugh. If you laugh, in Jesus' name, don't laugh. Okay, laugh now first so I can say what I want to say and you won't find it funny. Your phone will ring and you tell your friend, I'm sorry, that's the American Secretary of State. Let me take this call.
Amen.
You hear what I said? Because that one, an average person can't conceive it because they knew you today. This is not that your uncle is now a minister. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? No, your phone will ring. You say, that's Ban Ki-moon. He said he'll call this evening. I almost forgot. You know, the person will stop back and look at you first. Is it which Ban Ki-moon? Pastor Ban Ki-moon? No, I didn't say Pastor Ban Ki-moon. I said Ban Ki-moon. Sorry, please. The Ban Ki-moon I know is the UN Secretary General. I said, what's wrong with you? Are you deaf? I said, yes. Yeah, my friend, stop playing. John said, leave me. Yeah, next thing we hear, oh, okay, is that you? All right, I told you I will call. I'm sorry, I called a bit late. the man is Korean. Are you getting my point? That's what he means when he says God is able to do exceedingly abundantly, far above what you can ask or even think. And when that happens, you know it could only have been by the power of God. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? Now, listen. If you know this is the kind of thing the power of God does, now you understand why Paul said, I counted everything as what?
Loss.
As loss. The only reason we hear the name Gamaliel is because it's linked to Paul. And Gamaliel was one of the greatest
teachers of that time.
People who were better than Paul those days, nobody knows them today. But on this earth, at least 1 billion people read the words of Paul every day.
Somebody say the power of God. Was it by struggles?
No.
I say this all the time. Paul could not have, he didn't have the ability, God didn't give it to him, I know, to conceive what those his letters will produce on this earth. Paul didn't have an idea.
Listen, if and it's good God didn't tell him. You know, if he did, Paul would have not preached to him. He would also not be writing day and night.
Listen, many of these letters were not, you know, it's you and I that call them epistles now. You know what I mean by epistle, as in doctrine. It was more of Timothy. We promised them we will come, but you know we can't come. So please get me some papers and pen. Begin to write. Explain to them that we are unable to come. But greet them. Yeah, that thing they wrote us about. Yeah, they were talking about that sister Priscilla, whose husband was going to divorce. They didn't know what to do. Tell them. Do you get my point? And they will explain. He said, hey, they were quarreling in Corinth. That's out of order. Now explain to them, and he'll be talking. I'll be talking. He was just writing to some people. At the end of the day, buy a postage stamp it, and the discharge letter. The letter goes. Say, okay, tell them that when they get there, let them read this letter. Because we can't write more than this, let them send for the other letter I wrote to the other church. Let them exchange letters, because we are very busy. That's all. Paul wasn't writing scripture. He wasn't writing a book. You know the way Pastor Banky would sit down and be writing. He wasn't writing a book. He wrote a letter. Okay, Philemon, take. When you go back, give to Philemon. Tell him I said this. Are you getting my point? And God, who was able to do exceedingly abundantly, far above what he could ever ask or imagine, took those same letters and turned them to what we call scripture. Men fight these days in defense of these words. Do you understand that? People get healed reading these words. People find direction reading these words. There are times people pray. Suddenly, one page will open. And Paul will write. Just find one line that Paul wrote. And to an overseer must be above reproach. And the person gets an answer. Are you getting what I'm saying? You are getting my point? These were things this man could not have imagined. That's why he said, by the power of God, I am what I am. And his grace working towards me, I deliberately switched it so that you know that grace and power are the same thing. Alright? And his grace working towards me, not proving. That is, by the manifestation of divine power, you will become something far beyond that which you ever imagined.
Amen.
What am I preaching today? If you understand that, then you have to show it in the way you behave, that you value it. That you do what? That you value it. By the time Joseph was running away from Mrs. Potiphar, that's what we're talking about. It was the value he placed upon the manifestation of the power of God. The question again, what do you really want in life? Me? I have found out that it is not money. No. It's nothing outward. Personally, the greatest, in quote, fear, the thing I want to avoid most in life, and God helping me, every decision I have to make to ensure that I avoid it, I will. The thing I want to avoid is that I went through life and all the glory and power that God ordained that I should experience, I didn't see it. On physically, listen, let me just tell you something now. Let's play it. You know when people come out of this poverty that's very plenty in Africa? You understand my point? Yes, they can't think beyond money. Do you understand my point? That a big job, salary, plenty of money, that's all we can think about. Let me tell you again, that is not what God is discussing about you. You know why? The day you gave your life to Christ, poverty died. Let me say it again. All those, please, don't be angry with me the way I want to say it. I don't believe what I'm about to tell you, but since you, a lot of people hearing me believe it, let me just say it. All those witches worrying you, there were none, all right? That's why I said I don't believe it, but since you think so, let me tell you. All those witches warning you, they died long ago. Are you getting my point?
There were no witches warning you. That's why I said I don't believe it. Its iniquity is the background of darkness that was warning people. Are you getting my point? And the day you give your life to Christ and you said, "This Jesus I will follow," all those things were wiped away. You are getting what I'm saying. So we're not discussing whether you will be healed, live long, or you'll be rich in life. That's not what we're discussing. What we are discussing is how much glory will you manifest on the earth. Do you follow what I'm saying? That's what we are discussing. Nobody is discussing that in this life too. Which I must drive a car. If an American hears you, he won't believe you're a Christian. Because in America, every idiot drives a car. How much more the wise people? So I can't imagine that we sit down and say, "In this life too, in Jesus' name, I must drive a car." God said, "If you want, I rain 10 on your head now, if you can stand the weight." So we're not discussing those things. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? We're not discussing, hey, one day, me too, I will go abroad. Listen, you will buy a house and dash somebody abroad. Do you get what I'm saying? That's not what we are discussing. What the issue is, that's what I am preaching. I don't have time for those. They can't imagine more than in this life too. Me too. I must see that place they call Dubai. Please. May you not be there when the tsunami will hit. We are saying how much glory will be manifested through your life. That's what we are discussing. You are getting my point? He's not there. Me too. This postgraduate they are doing abroad. Me too. I will do. If you want it, pray about it. You will get it. That's a foregone conclusion. What we are discussing is how many people will come and greet you in the morning that, "Sir, I need to go and take this course, and only University of Liverpool is offering it. Will you be kind enough to give me a scholarship?" I say, "Okay, go and see that person. Maximum £15,000. Give him." That's what we are talking about. That is, for you, it is not, I mean, no, it's how much glory you are going to manifest in life. Are you getting my point? That's what we are discussing. That's what we are discussing. That's what we are calling the manifestation of the power of God. Let nobody come and give me testimonies. Praise the Lord. Bring me to avoid the television. When I give you a kick, you won't come near me again. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Listen, I'm not saying television is not hard to buy for some people. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that when you buy television, just know that you were planning to build and throw them away. That is, don't if you buy a car, come and tell me the pastor, please. Come and provide. I don't want to see too much joy on your face. Do you hear what I said? I don't want to see too much joy. I prayed for you that you will buy a car, amen. But don't rejoice excessively. Good afternoon, sir. Do you mind coming to provide? I got a place to go. Don't talk to me like that, otherwise I will blow you. But what I'm just saying is that it's not a special achievement. You hear what I said? It's not what? A special achievement. All right? When you have your 50th employee, I like that kind of testimony. Say, "Pastor, do you know that Gary business I'm telling you about? Do you know today we hired the 50th person? Two of them are chemical engineers." That's what I want to hear. That's testimony. What did I say? That's testimony. What did I say? That's testimony. Come on, say, "Sir, 50 people. I don't care whether you came in a car or you took a taxi or you trekked down. Tell me, you have employed 50 people. I will buy a bottle of olive oil. Use my teeth to open it. You will kneel down there. I will pray for you that they will become 50,000. You are getting what I'm saying? Please, that's what you and I are discussing. One day you will... let's pray. I've prophesied enough for the day. Yes, I have prophesied enough. But one day, me and you will be talking, your phone will ring, and you tell me, "Oh, it's the captain of the plane that just arrived." I says, and you will tell him, "Call me back, I'm talking to Pastor Banky." Are you getting what I'm saying? They call him me back. I'm talking to Pastor Bank. And listen, one day, you and I will be talking. Minister of Aviation will call. And you say, ah, Honorable Minister, I am so sorry. I will call you back. Please, sir. 10 minutes. What's happening? I'm talking to Pastor Banky. One day, me and you will talk. And your phone will ring. And the chief of staff to the president. And I tell you, the president needs to talk to you now. And you say, ah, put him on. But first, let him greet my pastor. He say, I'm telling you, because, oh, how did they greet the president again? Is your excellency or your holiness? He said, your excellency, I know you are very busy, but this man must bless you, sir. Then I will take the phone, assuming his name is Good Lord Jonathan. I say, President, good luck, it shall be well with you. And the man will say, amen. And I'll give you back the phone. And that whole day, people will know he talks to me. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
That's what we are discussing. No? Nobody should come as a pastor. Pray that one day my television will work. If I remove my shoe. I know you may not have TV now, but you will line your TV with 72-inch LCDs, and God won't even be angry with you. We're talking about what? Glory. Tell your neighbor, glory.
Glory.
Power.
Power.
Tell the person,
it's not by power.
Not by human power.
Not by human
strength.
Not by human
know-how.
But by the Spirit of God.
So that is the power of God.
Rise
to your feet. Let's just quickly pray for a few minutes as we go. Now just simply say in your own words, say, Lord, that is what I want. Your power. The manifestation, your glory, divine health for my body. That is what I will experience. The manifestation of glory in life. That is what I will experience. Say it. I want to hear you say it. Declare it. Speak to yourself. Say, my soul, listen to this. This is what is most important for you. To experience the power of God. To experience the power of God. To experience the power of God. David said, a day in your courts is better than 1,000 days outside. That is, a day in your courts. That is, if I'm there for a day, feeding on the Spirit of God, on the power of God, I have more satisfaction than having a day anywhere, 1,000 days anywhere else. Say, Lord, this is what I want in my life. That your power will be manifested. That Nicodemus will come to me at night and say, this thing cannot happen except God is with you. That this thing cannot happen except God is with you. That this thing cannot happen except God is with you. Say, Lord, that is what I want in my life. That, Lord, that is what I want in my life. That is what I want to experience in my life. And I reach for it. Say, Lord, teach my heart to know what to do. A man came to Jesus and said, what must I do? What must I do? What must I do to gain eternal life? That what must I do to gain eternal life? That what must I do? Say, Lord, teach me what I must do. Say, Lord, teach me what I must do. Say, open my heart to understand. He said, the righteousness of thy testimony is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. Say, Lord, give me understanding. But what I want is for your power to be manifested in my life. Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And the Holy Spirit came. Say, Lord, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Because it is dwelling in me. Lord, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Because he is dwelling with me. Lord, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Say, I am not alone, but the Holy Spirit is with me. Say, Lord, I am not alone, but the Holy Spirit is with me. Therefore, it leads me into all truth. He leads me into all truth. He leads me into all truth. I walk by this truth, and the glory of God is manifested in my life. Lord, my life will be a story of the manifestation of the power of God. My life will be a story of the manifestation of the power of God. My life will be a story of the manifestation of the power of God. That my life will be a story of the manifestation of the power of God. This is what I greatly desire. Listen. Anything you, listen, especially as a child of God, anything you strongly desire, that's what God will give to you. That's a matter of fact. Why was it that God chose Joshua? I don't think that Moses appointed Joshua by himself. That is like, you follow me. It was Joshua that just came and said, this Moses, let me follow him. And I don't think he was following Moses because of Moses. It was following Moses because of what Moses used to tell them. So like the man is trying to learn the pathway to that place where the man goes to meet God. Why do I know that? Because many times Moses will go in to go and meet with God, and he will come out and go away. Joshua didn't go Greek come out. He will remain there at that door. Which is that it was not Moses he was following. He was just using Moses to get somewhere. Are you getting my point? What Joshua wanted was to know God the way Moses did. Do you follow my point? As I want the God now showed up and said, don't worry, I will be with you the same way I was with Moses. You know, there was something that Charles Capps said, I listened to one of his messages many years ago, I remember that was 1992. He said that one day he prayed and he asked the Lord, why was it that John used to put his head on your chest and you didn't allow the other disciples? He said they didn't want it. So the Lord answered him and said, he was the only one that wanted it. If Peter had said, John, shift, I should say the Lord for not driver. You are getting what I'm not explaining? That this is what they wanted that they got. That's why I keep on begging you, please don't dream small. There are women who are dreaming, say, God, give me a rich husband. It's a very stupid dream. It's even stupid that when a man is dreaming that he should marry a rich wife. That's double stupidity. Dream great dreams. You are getting my point?
Yes, sir.
So big that waiting concern whether the man get money or not get the woman, it tells my own. That there will be plenty prosperity. Are you getting my point? To make all of us rich. Because it's the one you dream of you will get to. And so many of the things you think are great dreams, they are actually inferior dreams. They never reach anywhere. You are getting what I'm saying? That's why, beyond every ability to itemize what I would like to experience in life, say, God, I just want glory to be manifested in my life. You know, do you know, for God, it's easier to make somebody rich than to make somebody well. Do you know that? Yes, it is. Somebody touched the hem of Jesus' garment. Anointing came, and she was totally made whole. I don't know why my mind just a good day these days. Maybe that's what God wants to do in our lives. There are those people will touch you and they will become rich.
Amen.
You know, there are different kinds of touching. Let me tell you what they call touch. You know, a lot of people, they will do Thanksgiving now. It's only this share starts giving them contracts. That's touching. So he said, what does it do? He said, he supplies Schlumberger equipment.
Hey! Yeah!
Now, you don't know whether it is office pin he's supplying, no. You just heard that his supply is to Schlumberger. And you immediately move back and say, Baba. You get what I'm saying? That's one kind of touching. And I'm saying to you, one day somebody will touch you. And they will say, where are you coming from? Say, I just touched this. Ah! And people will shake. Say, wow, you are made.
That's anointing. Tell your neighbor it's anointing.
Say, I will be anointed.
If I know, sorry. Say, I am anointed. That's better.
I said, I am anointed.
Listen. What I've just tried to do today is let's focus on one thing. That God, that your power will be so manifested in my life. People who have deficiencies, financial deficiencies, health problems, they will touch me and they will be healed. Do you understand that? That is God, I want to be so connected. The man that's still my hero till tomorrow is John G. Lake. Every day, what the man, he was working as if he was a rich man. I mean, the job he was doing, he made a lot of money. He said, but all he used to dream of is power of God flowing through him. And then one day he went somewhere. They went to go and pray for somebody. And then suddenly, he just suddenly felt heavens open. And something began to pour on him like somebody was pouring honey from a pot. He said he just sat down gently. They now called him to come and pray for the person. He said, what happened was that, I think, let me not call it. He said, if I touch, he began to tremble, vibrate so vigorously. He said, if I touch this lady that was sick, the lady will fall, from the vibration. So he said to just touch her gently. The guy who was touching, two of them came to pray. That one fell to the floor. And the fellow said, the Lord has filled you with his spirit. He went in the power of that spirit to South Africa. Turned the whole town, Spokane in Washington, to the healthiest city in America. They gave him a title, Dr. Lake. What they mean is that this man prayed for the sick so much that they were always getting with it. They gave him title doctor. So when you say Dr. John G. Lake, it's not PhD. It's not any other thing. Just that the society said that this guy is a healer, is a doctor. Why did I tell the story? For a long time, what was just on his mind is what? The power of God. He was a preacher, so his manifestation came in one way. We have different ministries. Amen? But the same power is available to everybody. So let your meditation every time be what? The power of God. You are not an average person. I say you are not an average person. You were built. He said, a body that has prepared for me. You were built. Your body was prepared to carry the power of God. You are a vessel of divine ability. Amen. You are a what? A vessel of divine ability. Therefore, in all that you do, you will prosper.
Amen.
Listen, please, what are we doing? You have to think these thoughts. Because the good Lord, I am persuaded, wants to release that glory onto this earth. And it's not lightning that will just strike from empty sky onto the earth. It passes through somebody. You are the conductor of divine lightning.
Amen.
Father, we give you thanks for today.